go rebuild my church, which as you can see is falling into ruins. These are the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi from an image of Christ on the crucifix at San Damiano in 1205 AD. These same words inspired Peter Doan, the host of the program you're about to hear. Peter challenges all of us to rebuild not the brick and mortars of our church buildings, but our personal faith and relationships that will rebuild and strengthen the church. Now here's today's program.
Hi, I'm Peter Doan.
And I'm Leslie Doan.
And you are listening today to the radio broadcast, Go Rebuild My Church. Each week in this broadcast, we explore ways to put into practice the words spoken to St. Francis of Assisi by our Lord Jesus, and how this theme is relevant as we seek to bring renewal to the church today.
Our passion for renewal was ignited when we came home to the Catholic Church 13 years ago, and that's when we heard the call to rebuild and joined efforts with many other renewal movements within the church.
You can learn more about our journey home and our lay apostolate dedicated to renewal in the Catholic Church by visiting our website at www.catholicdiscipleshipministries.org.
Our prayer is through the ministry of this radio program and our lay apostolate, we can provide pathways for you as individuals, your families, as well as your parishes to join the rebuilding process and experience renewal. Well, we want to welcome those listeners who are joining us for the first time today. We've just launched a new series that we're super excited about, aren't we, Peter?
We're very excited.
It's one that we've been looking forward to doing for a couple of years now. And our new series is The Rebuilding and Renewing of the Catholic Family as the Domestic Church.
Amen. In these broadcasts, we will be pulling together the sacred scripture, excerpts from the catechism, the lives of our saints, the teaching of the church, as we seek to bring individuals, families, and local parishes to rebuild and renew the Catholic faith here in America. We will discover that rebuilding and renewing the Catholic family as a domestic church, Leslie, will be critical to both rebuilding the Catholic faith here in America, as well as placing our families in the Lord's holy presence for blessing, protection, nurture, and stability.
We really need that in this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
Now, from the very beginning, the family has been critical to God's purpose for creation. Yet we tend to take for granted the role the family was intended to play, and that's really unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much that we have to learn about why we need this emphasis on the family. So last week, we began by laying the groundwork for this momentous task of rebuilding and renewing the Catholic family here in America. And we started by sharing some great insights from the Old Testament. We traveled into the New Testament briefly. We talked about the Church Fathers, the Catholic Catechism, and finally, we touched on Vatican II just a little bit. So, Peter, as we continue today in our first segment, I think it would be important to highlight some of those key ideas we introduced last week.
Right. So, first of all, we shared several paragraphs from the Catechism, but one of those paragraphs is central to the importance of the family, Leslie. It's paragraph 1656.
And it sort of provides like a framework for what we're talking about.
Amen. And here it is. In our time, in a world often alien and even hostile to the faith, boy, that sounds up to date, believing families are of primary importance as centers of living, radiant faith. For this reason, the Second Vatican Council, using an ancient expression, calls the family the Ecclesia Domestica, which is the
domestic church.
Domestic church. It is the bosom of the family that parents are, by word and example, the first heralds of the faith with regard to their children. Finally, it says they should encourage them in the vocation which is proper to each child, fostering with special care any religious vocation.
Well, this certainly begins to answer the why on just how the family plays a foundational role in the rebuilding of our Catholic faith. There is so much, Peter, in the Catechism that should inspire us, especially in these words.
Mm-hmm.
It really reinforces to me the high calling and purpose of the family, that we're to be living centers of radiant faith. That means our light is set out there for everyone to see.
Mm-hmm.
We're to be the first proclaimers of the faith, just like the angels when they proclaimed Jesus' birth and the first school of Christian life. And this should make us pretty aware of why the traditional family has come under such extreme attack from Satan these days.
And boy, that's to the 10th power right now, Leslie. So yes, Satan hates God's design. He cannot attack the Lord directly, obviously. So he attacks the image of God and the supreme expression of that image, which is the family, as the domestic church.
Well, let's take a few moments to review what is meant by the family as the domestic church.
Yes, and as we mentioned last week, some of this background information, Leslie, we acknowledge the reference of Dr. Joseph Atkinson's Biblical and Theological Foundations of the Family, the Domestic Church. Now, last week we discussed what does the church mean when she calls the family the domestic church. And we started with Judaism has always placed significance on the family. The family is everything for Israel. Without it, there was no covenant. And this is very clear in the Old Testament. Domestic church, as a term to describe Christian family, has become a household phrase in recent years. However, though, Leslie, despite its use by the church fathers, the term fell out of use for more than 1,000 years. Then, after Vatican II, it has become more common and was placed in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It states, the Christian family constitutes a specific revelation and realization of ecclesial communion. And for this reason, it can and should be called, I like that, it should be called the domestic church. So starting in the Old Testament and continuing all the way to post-Vatican II development, we can see how the purpose of the family in salvation history was critical in fulfilling this God's plan.
Yes, we spoke of how the Old Testament really does set the stage for our understanding of the family as the domestic church. In fact, last week you even mentioned how we see the genealogies, our families, recorded in the Old Testament and passing on the covenant.
Right.
So we learned that the family as domestic church is grounded in a Hebrew understanding of the nature of man and that the human person is always seen in communal or family terms. And this idea, of course, as we've stated, runs throughout the whole Testament, and it really is in contrast with today's modern thinking. Our West has an understanding of the human person as individualistic, that we function as isolated, self-determining individuals. But the church's understanding of the Christian family has its roots in the Old Testament.
Right.
And the Hebrew mindset is not individualistic, is it?
No, it isn't.
Like the African proverb says that we shared last week, I am because we are.
Right, right. And then, Leslie, last week we looked at the New Testament, and even though we have this beautiful concept of the family in the Old Testament, still there was a problem in the Old Testament, and that is the fallen nature and original sin that had not been dealt with. You look at the patriarchs in Genesis and some of the problems and dysfunction that they went through, and we need to remember that still original sin was operative. Jesus Christ then brought redemption and life, didn't he? Through his incarnation and Paschal mystery, Jesus offered the human family and brings it into the divine family, establishing the church, which calls out us from being alienated from God into communion with him.
Then finally, last week, we looked into the church fathers and how they help us understand the importance of the family. Peter, what are a few highlights that we can learn from the church fathers?
Yeah, the church fathers are really important to me, Leslie. That phrase, domestic church, was used by many of them, especially St. Augustine of Hippo. He preached that the father of families, like bishops and clergy, have an ecclesial role. Also, John Chrysostom does not use the word domestic church, but he uses the word little church. So the family is called to do also, he said, spiritual warfare, and we're going to talk about that in a whole broadcast in the future.
Okay, listeners, we're going to take a short break now, and when we return, we will look at how the roots of the family as a domestic church were renewed as a result of Vatican II. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
Take Catholic Radio Indy's 40 Days of Lent Challenge. During Lent, listen to at least 1 hour of Catholic radio each day. If you're already a daily listener, add an hour each day or pick a different time to listen. Or if you really want to go all in, listen exclusively to Catholic Radio Indy from now until Easter. Spend 40 days with Catholic Radio Indy and see what a difference 100% Catholic programming 24/7 makes.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to our radio program, Go Rebuild My Church. Today we are bringing to you, our listening audience, an exciting and critical series of broadcasts. We will explore the call to rebuild and renew the Catholic family as the domestic church. And as Peter mentioned earlier, this has been a lifetime concern for us. This series will be both theological as well as practical. We will discuss the historical, biblical, theological, and spiritual underpinnings of the Catholic family. That's a mouthful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Peter, can you tell us about Vatican II and the effect it had on the family as the domestic church?
Right. And as we go through this foundation, Leslie, after we establish that, we're going to get very practical in this series as well to help parents and grandparents and, yes, children to know just how to live as a Catholic family as the domestic church. In Vatican II, as we mentioned, understanding the family as a little church was called to holiness fell by the wayside when consecrated religious life became the primary model for holiness. It was not until this wonderful council, Vatican II, that the idea of the Christian family as domestic church was recovered. And thanks to movements prior to that council, many practices in the early church were rediscovered, including this domestic church. And by the way, parenthetically speaking, also the diaconate as well as the catechumenate, we know it as the RCIA, to mention two that were restored as a result of Vatican II. Lumen Gentium, the dogmatic constitution on the church, stressed the universal call to holiness in every state of life, not just the consecrated religious, and this included the family as the domestic church. Lumen Gentium 11 sees the domestic church as an outgrowth of the sacrament of matrimony, and here's what it says. The family is, so to speak, the domestic church. In it, parents should, by their word and example, be the first preachers of the faith to their children. They should encourage them in the vocation which is proper to each of them. That's very interesting. Fostering with special care vocation to a sacred state. So Lumen Gentium, and this is so important, brief mention of the domestic church was then taught by Pope St. John Paul II. He developed in it the theology of the domestic church in his apostolic exhortation called Familiaris Consortio. And we're going to be referring to that a lot today, Leslie. That's a very important picture of the family from our blessed Pope St. John Paul. He, John Paul II, develops the church as a church telling families to become what you are. As Augustine understood it, he said, the baptized family is already a domestic church. But as Chrysostom understood well, the family needs to actively become that reality. And then we'll mention him later too in our broadcast. Pope Benedict XVI continued this theme along with Pope Francis, most notably in his apostolic exhortation, Amoris Laetitia. The exhortation beautifully praises the Catholic family in its way of holiness, ending with a beautiful prayer to the Holy Family.
Peter, I really like how John Paul II and Pope Benedict carried these themes forward after Vatican II. I think that's really important to emphasize. So talk to us a little bit more about Vatican II and why their perspectives were so important.
I think, Leslie, the Vatican II perspective recently was laid out for us, you and me personally, by George Weigel, a key thought leader in the church today, as well as the chief biographer that many of us know of Pope St. John Paul II. And I'd like to make an important point here. 3 weeks ago, we listened to a presentation by him that he gave in the Diocese of Lafayette, Indiana. And he was promoting his new book, To Sanctify the World, The Vital Legacy of Vatican II, that we're talking about today, right? He made a point that became a key takeaway for you and me. He said, following Vatican II, there was an obvious confusion and misinterpretation of what the council had achieved. According to Weigel, the reason for this was that there was no interpretive key that was offered to rightly interpret the documents of Vatican II. Interesting idea he was bringing to us. For example, he said, after the first ecumenical council, which was the Council of Nicaea, the Nicene Creed was given so that the church could rightly interpret the truth of that first council. Weigel then pointed out that God raised up two historical papacies, that of St. John Paul II and then Benedict XVI, to provide that missing interpretive key to Vatican II. Now, I share this insight with our listeners today because I believe that as we present these broadcasts, the rebuilding and the renewing of the family as a domestic church, we'll be using those two popes and their keen insights to what makes the family the foundational institution God designed it to be.
Well, Peter, as we discuss these theological and biblical underpinnings of the domestic church, I'm sure all of our listeners can relate to the difficulty of keeping Christ at the center of our families.
Right.
And I'm so aware that today's modern family is pulled in many directions. We see this with our own family, our children and grandchildren. Often both parents are working outside the home. The weekends are filled with the children's activities and sports, and they're trying to catch up on all their home responsibilities. And when we think back on the time in our lives when we were raising our family, we had to work hard to balance the activities of our young family between youth sports and our obligation to raise our children in the faith.
Right, Leslie, for sure, as I like to say, that right now, the American Catholic family is running in the fast lane. And so how do we recapture this beauty of the domestic church if we're all running in the fast lane?
Well, one of the practical ways we tackled this was by starting each day with a short family devotion at breakfast before everyone went off to school. And we were able to take advantage of some wonderful tools that gave very, very short little lessons, things to reflect on. And then also on the weekends, of course, we made sure to attend church every Sunday. That was a priority in our home.
Yeah, amen. And I think as Catholic parents and grandparents, we believe and teach that the Mass really is where heaven and earth meet each week. Then the Mass has to fit in to these busy weekend plans that we have as American families. And I really firmly believe that we can do both. A little aside, we just had the Super Bowl recently an experience. And the interesting thing is, Leslie, the kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs that kicked the winning field goal is a strong Catholic and even serves at Mass on Sundays. And with him and all his practices that he does, if he can keep his faith priority, than all of us can.
Okay, listeners, it's time for another short break, and when we return, we're going to continue to unpack some of the key components from John Paul II on the family as the domestic church. So please stay with us.
You're listening to Go Rebuild My Church. This program is underwritten in part by Willie and Deborah Wood in memory of their parents, Woody and Joyce Wood, and Bill and Elsie Brooks. Catholic Radio Indy thanks the Wood family for their support.
An interview with Father Trenton Rauch and his story on how Catholic radio influenced his vocation.
I was not struck by lightning and knocked off my horse. I had a lot of time driving in the car listening to the radio, and I just gotten to a point where I would prefer to listen to something that would be intellectually stimulating. And at the same time, I was learning about the faith, particularly the apologetics.
Catholic radio, building faith, building vocations.
You're listening to the radio program, Go Rebuild My Church, and today we're continuing to lay the groundwork for a new series that will explore how the Catholic family can become a powerful domestic church. And in our last segment, we discussed how Vatican II restored the idea rooted in the Hebrew mindset of the family as the domestic church. We've discussed how the New Testament assumed this understanding and how St. Paul ties the family to both the Trinity and the reality of Jesus Christ as husband and the church as wife. Now, in this last segment, we want to open up to our listening audience the wisdom of St. John Paul II and how his writings lay the groundwork for our broadcast on the family and the domestic church. Peter, where can we begin to unpack some of his thoughts?
Right, Leslie. I think he does us such a gift in giving us some of these ideas. John Paul II often addresses issues directly connected to family life, and most of those important insights are found, as we mentioned, in the work entitled Familiaris Consortio, and it translates into English, On the Family. This apostolic exhortation is fundamental to the Pope's approach to marriage and the family. Many Catholics have a general idea of what our faith is against, right? In the area of marriage and the family, we all know what we shouldn't be doing and the attacks on the family. But we want to, John Paul gives us what we should be for. And many of us don't know exactly what we should be for in our families. Hopefully, this summary of the Pope's teachings will help us appreciate more fully his foundational theology of the family. And we'll begin to discuss in today's broadcast these ideas, and then we're going to complete them next week.
And I think these ideas are wonderful, Peter, because they elevate our vision and understanding of the family.
Right.
Give us a high view of the family.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. So first of all, the Pope brings to us the fact that the family is a foundation for life. Especially during the early years of life, the Pope said, parents symbolize, and this is so critical to know, that parents symbolize God for their children. In his teaching on the value of human life, the Pope writes, within the people of life and the people of life, the family has a decisive responsibility. Here it is a matter of God's own love, of which parents are co-workers. And then that wonderful idea, parents are co-workers with God in raising those children, as it were, interpreters when they transmit life and raise it according to the fatherly plan. In other words, parents make God real to the child. Amazing.
That is such a just a powerful statement. Parents make God real to the child.
Yeah.
And he also, in his writings, addresses parents as the first evangelizers of their children. And they do this by embodying gospel love in all their daily words and actions. This mm-hmm. is so important. And I have known individuals, in fact, in particular, one friend of mine that had the exact opposite experience being raised in the home with an alcoholic parent. This friend of mine did not experience love. She could never trust how her parent was going to act on any given day. And this did significant damage to her view of God.
Right.
And of course, the Lord came into her life, the saving grace of Christ, and healed her relationship with God. But it had her damaged view of God had started in her family.
Right. Now, secondly, the Pope, in this wonderful exhortation, highlights the singular importance of family love. Looking at the family, he said, in such a way as to reach to its very roots, we must try that the essence and the role of the family are in the final analysis specified by love. Hence, he said, the family has its mission to guard, reveal, and communicate love. He went on to say, when it comes to family life, the same message applies. In fact, the full dignity of each person begins in the family. And listen to this, Leslie. He says, and if it fails to happen there, this is powerful, it probably will not happen elsewhere. In other words, if the child doesn't learn love in the family, it's really the odds are stacked against him that he's going to learn it anywhere else. Finally, he said here, the family is foundational for Christian life. First, there is the love between husband and wife, and their love is to be an expression of full self-giving. Then in the Pope's mind, there is no room for one using the other as an object or a thing, he said.
So first we learn that the parents make God real to the child, and now we're learning that this is where they experience family love. So Peter, to your point, John Paul also talked about this in a letter to families during the International Year of the Family in 1994. Mm-hmm. He wrote, It is parents who are charged with communicating this tender love of God to their children. Hopefully, this message will remain with them forever. This is why it remains a social institution that neither can nor should be replaced. It is the sanctuary of life. And I meditated on those words, that the family is the sanctuary of life. We think about sanctuaries for wildlife, for turtles, you know, for all different kinds of animals. But the family is the sanctuary of human life.
Amen. Thirdly, the Pope brings to us in this papal apostolic exhortation that, as we've been talking about before, that the family is indeed the domestic church. As we've pointed out, the Second Vatican Council, of course, brought forward these writings of the church fathers, the description as the domestic church, the family. The Pope speaks of the family as a church in miniature. I like that phrase also, Leslie, the church in miniature, in such a way that it is in its own way a living image and historical representation, the mystical body of Christ, the church. This is a strong affirmation of the family's identity. He is saying, Leslie, that the family itself is a church according to its own way of life. And you know, we may know the family can be messy sometimes, chaotic, noisy, and disorganized, but still, as the Pope said, it's the church in miniature.
Well, we know that for sure. There are numerous trials and difficulties in every family. All families go through struggles. We've been through our own struggles in our family, but it doesn't take away from the reality of the family being the domestic church. So I think we need to pray for the family right now, Peter.
Amen. And for ourselves and all of our listeners, Leslie, come Holy Spirit upon all of our families, us, our listeners, and the families throughout our country, throughout our dioceses. Come, Holy Spirit, and please recreate in us this vision, this desire, and yes, indeed, the experience of living as Catholic families, as the domestic church. Help us and lead us, O Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Well, thank you, listeners, for joining us again today as we seek to connect you as individuals, your families, and parishes to the rebuilding and renewal of the Catholic faith here in America. And if you'd like to hear our past programs, we invite you to go to CatholicRadioIndy.org, where you can access all previous broadcasts through the podcast tab on the webpage. And we encourage you to become a regular listener of Catholic Radio Indy. Goodbye for now, and
keep the faith.
You've been listening to Go Rebuild My Church with Peter Doan. Podcasts of this program are available at www.catholicradioindy.org.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.